we continue to spotlight mine action in South Sudan as we create awareness and raise it as well on the landmines, cluster munitions and other explosive ordnance continue to claim lives and cause life-changing injuries. And so safer futures start here. That's the powerful theme of this year's International Day for Mine Awareness and Assistance in Mine Action, coming up this Friday, April 4th. And right now, we're embracing that theme with our guests, two young UNICEF reporters, and Agot Alier and Stephen Gear are right here with me in the studio. Good morning, Agot.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good, thanks.
Stephen, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Well, lovely to have you both here with me in the studio. And first off, it's always a pleasure to host you young reporters. And so many children might think an explosive ordnance looks like a toy or a harmless object. How can we help them understand the risks, Agot?
Yes, to start with, explosive ordnance, these are basically military ammunitions that are meant to explode. And we have a bit of examples like bombs, shells, grenades, improvised explosive devices. And such things cause significant risks during and even after conflict. So to children, to let them know that such things are really of harm to them, we need to create awareness starting from family levels, community levels, and even in schools, teaching them this kind of things through visual aids and also giving them messages on what they should do in case they see such things. Like if they see these devices, they're meant to stop, do not touch, and tell an adult so that they can be rescued.
Okay, lovely there. Thank you for explaining that. And would you like to add anything?
Well, on the unexploded ordnance, we think that these are the material that not yet exploded. We call them unexploded ordnance. So their impacts on children just very many, and it's very dangerous to children because we believe that a child is a child, or they are exposed to every dangerous thing in our communities. So we think those unexploded ordnance need to be at least detected and identified. After identification, then we aware the community and also the children. We educate them on what they're supposed to do. If they see such things, what are they supposed to do? We say that they should not approach, don't approach, don't touch, and call for help. This is what we think children should do. So in all these aspects, the unexploded ordnance and also the cluster munitions are just very dangerous. They happen during the wars, and after the wars, they're still in existence because not all explode, not all. Some are still to be functional. They are functional, but they are dormant. They can be down. And you know, children, when they are in the community, they don't stay in one place. They move from one place to another. You know, especially in South Sudan, we know children undergoing very many difficulties. They have to at least collect materials, just like metallic materials, to at least help themselves, like selling them. So in that aspect, they might get to pick a material that is very dangerous to them.
Okay. They might. I like that you mentioned metal, because the next thing I was going to ask was, I'm a child, I'm walking around in the village, and I see this shiny object, and I'm attracted to it. I mean, I'm a child, right? And the first thing I think about is go and play with it. So what do these unexplosive ordinances usually look like in terms of their shape and the material that they are, you know, made out of?
Yeah, so I can just come in for that. You know, these things look in very different kinds of shapes and designs and even colors. So there's some that really look like some butterfly wings. Others look like some designed fruits. And when they are dropped and they don't explode, they can tend to still stay active, not until someone like applies a force on it, and then it will explode. So they have different attractive shapes that will get children to to the point of, yeah, let me just try this, let me touch this, you know. But one thing we always say is that children have to, you know, discuss safe behavior, because in different ways or in different places where they play, they'll find this kind of things. But then they have to have the safe behavior in their mindset. You know, when they find something suspicious, they're not meant to touch it. That's okay. The message for them.
All right. The question still remains in the air. What is suspicious compared to other things that are probably in the compound? So do we restrict children to only playing with things inside the house and not outside? Where are the lines? Where should it be drawn?
Well, in that aspect, after we tell them or we show them what it looked like we got probably explained it, like the materials look, they look good. The size, I just, you know, that can be small, like those ordnance over in the diminution. They look nice. But what we need to tell children is by educating them. Mm-hmm. If you get such a material, don't approach first. Don't approach. We know children, they like approaching things. Don't approach. First call for help. And this will let them be safe. Because if after them calling for help, an elder or an adult would at least show that particular child that this is dangerous and you should not, you know, play with it. Also, there are some, after that identification, those particular areas, there are some signs that can be at least placed there to show that there's something happening in that place. Mm-hmm. We know all this, like the cross.
Yeah.
It's just being placed down there. It's a signal or notification of telling you that this place is not safe.
Okay.
Yes, that's what we need to actually tell children.
All right, so adults have a role to play in this as well.
Huge role.
Okay. Now, how do you and other young educators reach out to these children? Because they need awareness. And how are you able to, you know, go and give them this information? Agot?
Yes. So as young reporters, the first thing we've done is have interactive workshops. We've had one at the UNICEF Hub, and the children there get to know exactly what this kind of things look like in their communities. And we also go out creating awareness, just like we're doing right now, and letting other people know the dangers or the risks that they can be exposed to, especially in places that are facing conflict or having such kind of ordnance. And also we do visual aids, that's in interactive workshops. We show them what these things look like, and of course after that the children will go with that image that, yeah, this is what it looks like. Community awareness is something else we also do. Talk to parents, talk to children out there. You know, most times children get to understand from their fellow children, because when it's an adult speaking, they're like, yeah, I don't know how that really does to me. But yeah, we do community awareness to let everybody know that this explosive ordnance is really a threat to their lives. Likewise, we do safety messages. We create, you know, we tell them what they should do when they see such kind of things. We also have to let them know, we actually let them know that they have to follow the kind of warning signs they see in fields. It could be in vast lands or even in specific places. And importantly, children get affected at riverbeds, riverbanks. That's where most of these explosives can be dumped and not washed away or exploded. And that's where they get affected. So we pass out this kind of messages to let them know in schools, in communities, yeah, and on air.
All right, thank you. And Stephen, she mentioned schools. What roles can schools play in making sure every child knows how to stay safe from explosive ordnance? What specific roles can they play?
A specific role for schools? Probably a school have a specific, a huge role to educate children, because we believe that this is where children gather and get to learn. So it should be discussed and they should be given those measures. Mm-hmm. Because just like being taught, put there in a subject that if we reach this topic, we are going to learn about this, maybe about the environment, what we get in the environment, what are we supposed to do. So they should be included also. And also it should be just way of the PE or the mentorship, the way teachers have to guide the children and at least talk to them. In your community, there are some specific things that you need to do and things you don't need to do, and things that you need to at least engage with and things you don't need to. So this is where we get to teach them So a school has a big or a huge role for children, because we know they are vulnerable. They are contracted to every problem. So for that case of the schools, the teachers probably they have to teach students on the including those things in the subject, even the images, because okay. in the textbook they can be in form of images. So show a child that this is the what is what we call, you know, unexploded or exploded ordinance. This is how it looks like. And if you see something like this, just don't approach, don't touch.
So possibly even have these images posted around the school.
Yes.
All right. Yes, I got you wanted to add something.
Yeah, that's for sure. And in addition to what he said, schools also have the role of collaborating with authorities, NGOs, to see to it that these kind of things are taken off from school learning grounds to make schools safer learning environments. And also, schools need to be engagement hubs to the community. They have that right to, you know, collect the communities and also the students to tell them that, yes, this is what is happening and this is how you can do it. This is, a school can act as a hub to, you know, facilitate everything about this. And also emergency response, the schools have the role to, you know, bring in this kind of communication between the NGOs, the authorities, in case they see any suspicious, you know, items in the environment where students learn, to make it safer for the students.
All right. Now we've talked about schools, we've talked about the children themselves and their responsibility. Now let's talk about parents and siblings, the guardians who are in the homes, and how should they be able to protect younger children from explosive ordinances, but also how should they respond to when a child says, Mama or Baba, there's something here that I want you to come and see?
Well, we believe that in the houses, every house, there are some dangerous materials. Like we have our parents, some of our parents who are soldiers, they come home with their guns, with the grenades and all these dangerous materials. So for their sake, they have to keep them away from children. Children should not get access to them. This is the first role a parent should do. The other thing is they should at least educate them. Like they should not be moving around or keep touching things that they are not supposed to. Because a parent has a huge role of, you know, monitoring a child and also just be educating a child. Education starts from home. Tell a child that if you go to that place, I'll beat you. A child will fear, exactly. So now in the compound or the house, this is where a parent has a huge role. First, let's start from house. Keep all these materials away from children, like the grenade. There's a case scenario of the thing that had happened in the back then in a will. Children are just gathered. They were playing in the compound. So in a room, a child get to the room of his father and removed a this hand grenade. So he called all his friends and let them enter the room. So he was playing with it. He opens and again closed, open and lock it again. So children were scared and he locked the door. So in that process, he later on, you know, removed the whole
pin,
and the pin fell. He was struggling to pick it, but it was too late. The thing exploded.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So in that aspect, parents, you should not keep those materials or those dangerous materials close to children, and you should not let them see where you put them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And they should not be at home at all. Yes. Thank you very much, Stephen. Now, coming to you, Gott, could you briefly touch on this particular point where there are children who have had such experiences like this one, where there was a grenade that exploded, and then though the survivors are either disabled or traumatized, how can fellow children be able to interact with them, those who have been disabled by such situations, to keep them feeling included in the society and not, you know, stigmatize them?
Yes, that's right. So a lot of these children get stigmatized because of the conditions they go through. Maybe they've lost an eye or they've lost a limb and stuff. But yes, children out there should know that these is not what these children were wishing to have. So they should embrace them the way they are, not stigmatize them. And also, we should be able to create for them a safe environment, a safe learning environment. You know, in some places, you find that this kind of children without limbs or rather disabilities cannot access education. And disability is not inability. So there is need for everybody to work together to bring these kids back to a safe learning environment. Likewise, there should be flexible education modules, that's like online e-learning. And I'm so happy that South Sudan at least launched the Juba App Academy, where students can get to learn online. So such children can get connected to education in such ways. Likewise, their needs need to be accessed. You know, when you have this disability, everybody thinks you are not able to do any other thing, but then the parents, the other children need to assess the needs of these kids to see to it that they can grow in a healthy environment and have also a happy life just like the rest of other children. Okay. We also need to create awareness and advocate for their rights and for the rights of other children that are in conflict affected areas.
All right. Yeah. Thank you both for coming to speak on this, and you were very articulate. I have learned a lot from you, and just your 30 seconds each, what's your message to your fellow age mates and children listening out there? Stephen, okay. First.
To everyone listening out there, this topic is just very crucial to everyone, especially our country and the children in the country. We believe that children are vulnerable, and a child is a child. We get to tell them things that they don't know, and without telling them, they will not know. So in this aspect, as a child, if you see something that is, you know, suspicious, just don't approach, don't touch, and call for help.
Okay. Thank you very much. Agot?
Yes, thank you. To all the children out there, you need to stay safe and stay away from any suspicious items that you do see in your environment, because it's for the sake of your safety.
Thank you very much, Stephen and Agot. And I wish you all the best as you plan to celebrate Mind Action Day. Well, that brings us to the end of this specific discussion. We'll have sports coming up next.